This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Now, even with the cost of living crisis, there's one luxury I won't sacrifice. And judging by the people I've talked to here at Joy, that's our daily cup of coffee. And it seems I'm not alone. Coffee sales have largely remained stable, even as financial pressures have bitten over the past few years. But so too have prices. Though many of us became upset, and I know when I was chatting to friends about this, prices started to creep up last year, where they sort of have since then largely remained settled in the range between $4 and $5.50 for a basic drink. But this could soon change. By international standards, Australian coffee prices are low. Emma Felton is an adjunct senior researcher at the University of South Melbourne and joins us this afternoon. Emma, welcome to Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Con.
We're quite spoiled as we've got such great coffee culture in Australia and the quality is so good, yet there's a real and apparent risk with that. How come?
Well, the problem is we haven't, as you mentioned in your intro, we haven't been sort of keeping parity with price rises in raw coffee beans, but also with what other countries are charging. And our overheads are going up all the time, or have been going up for the past few years, and we've kept prices relatively low.
I suppose people are starting to worry, because I also thought about when I was in Europe a few weeks last year. I was fortunate enough to be there. I came back and I realised how good we've got it here compared to prices over there. So when it comes to comparing the cost of a cup of coffee in Australia versus the rest of the world, how do we compare? I mean, I mentioned it's expensive, but relatively speaking, you've sort of done a little bit of research into this.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, as you probably know, living in Melbourne, that, you know, Australia's really the place of specialty coffee, which is a particular kind of coffee. You know, we use Arabica beans, which are better than the Robusta, more commercially graded coffee beans. There's a lot more that goes into a specialty coffee, and there's lots of specialty type cafes, even though, you know, they're not branded specialty or whatever, but that's just what we're used to. And so in Europe and other countries, a lot of the beans are Robusta. They're not made in the, I mean, they're made, you know, obviously it's espresso coffee, but there's a bit of a difference there. And yet they're still charging really high prices that we just haven't kept up with.
So correct me if I'm wrong, that means we're sort of using a better product to produce a coffee, but also we're keeping our prices so low. And it just makes me think that something is needing to move, because I am gathering, like you also alluded to, even though cafes look like they're busy, the sort of cafe business themselves are finding it harder to sort of make ends meet.
Yes, you're right. They are. I mean, as you know, you see cafes are full all over the place. Mm. But I just heard recently, actually, that you know, some cafes have closed down, or people are thinking they're going to have to close down. Not in the area that I live in, but I haven't noticed this happening, but I have heard this, that in other parts of Australia, in Sydney and Melbourne, this might be happening. And it, well, is happening in a very, you know, in a small extent. So, yeah, it will become an increasing problem, I think.
Is there a sort of sweet spot that you think that prices will be moving towards, which will not only help justify the increasing cost of producing the product, but also make it such that those businesses can sort of still keep making sufficient enough money to sort of stay in business? And also, I suppose it's going to be hard, because consumers are always going to sort of go, oh my gosh, it's getting so expensive, but realising that actually we've had it so good for so long, relatively speaking, compared to the rest of the world.
Yes, well, I think you've hit on a few things there. And one is, you know, that we, people, I actually think, and this is just, you know, me thinking this, that people will pay more if, you know, if your coffee goes up by a dollar. I don't think people are going to stop buying coffee, I think. And I think if there's a bit of kind of awareness around, you know, the global price of coffee and what's happening globally, I think people would probably happily pay the extra dollar or $1.50 if they can afford it, obviously. Because coffee, well, going to a cafe or, you know, getting a coffee and bringing it back to work or whatever is very much, has become sort of a lifestyle thing for Australians. It's, for many Australians, you know, it's part of what you do every day. And to just let that go, I don't know that people would do that readily. And I, yeah, that's why I think they'd be willing to, you know, fork out the extra dollar or so to keep cafes going.
We're chatting with Elmer Felton, adjunct senior researcher at the University of South Australia, about the true cost of our cup of coffee. Now, Elmer, you touch upon something that I was going to raise. Is it's not only sort of the ritual of getting the coffee in the morning that we need that caffeine boost, but also it's this whole social thing. You sort of catch up with the person that sells you the coffee. You may bump into friends, or you may bump into neighbours if it's local to you, or even go with your workmates together, or school friends if you're still sort of in the high school years, enjoying a cup of coffee or wherever. But it's a very social thing. So as you sort of said just a moment ago, that maybe the justification we need is, well, it's more than just the coffee. It's that whole thing that comes with it.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things about the cafe, and I think why it's become so incredibly popular in the last 20 years or so, is because it's this really important social space. It's not home. It's not work, so you're not sort of, you're not bound by those strictures of work and home, but it's a place where you can go and meet people. You know, it's much easier to say to somebody, oh, let's just go and meet at the cafe rather than come over for dinner or whatever. You know, it's an easier, fairly inexpensive place to meet, and people go there and work. You know, people, I know some cafes don't mind people sitting at the back with their laptop for a few hours, you know, as long as they buy a couple of coffees. So it has become this really important social space. It's, in sort of academic parlance, it's called third space, you know, that it's not home, it's not work. And, yeah, and I think when people are living in, you know, apartments and working from home, a lot more people are working from home now since COVID, that those third spaces, like the cafe, have become really significant, even more so.
So obviously the trend is going to move to a place where we'll have to pay a little bit more. So the things we need to keep in mind that is we've sort of got, obviously got cafe owners putting up their prices, but we shouldn't rush to accuse them of selfishness or profiteering, but they're just trying to survive. And relatively speaking, we've had it good for so long.
Exactly, yeah, we have. We've had it good for... I mean, prices have not risen much in, you know, if you compare it internationally. We've only, the average sort of cafe profit is 7%.
Wow.
And that's been pretty stable for the last 10 years or so, whereas the average business profit margin, you know, across all businesses is about 13.5%. So, yeah, cafe profits are much lower than many other businesses. So we need to be somehow or other, you know, I think the word should get out a bit about this as well.
Yeah, and for someone, like I said a moment ago, who has been fortunate to go enough to go overseas last year, which I did, I realise how good we've got it here. I mean, the coffee wasn't extraordinary. I mean, it was good. But coming back here made me realise how good we've got it at the prices we're paying and the kind of passion that these cafe owners have for their coffee. Because, yes, they are behind the counter and wanting to make sure they're making a good cup of coffee, but you can sort of see it. That's really wanting to make you smile too when you're enjoying that cup of coffee too.
That's right, yeah. I mean, you often have a sort of, if you go to a cafe regularly, you build up a relationship with the barista or people who work there. So I think that's very much a part of it. And, you know, when you talked about having coffee overseas, I've had similar, I was overseas last year and had a similar experience in Europe where, yeah, the coffee, I mean, we did have sort of flat whites. Yep. It's interesting how flat whites have become a bit of a thing in some countries or some cities overseas. But they didn't really, I mean, they were fine, but they weren't as good as our good flat whites. And I think, yes, we've perfected the art of the flat white, or a lot of cafes have. I think there's just more attention that goes into the quality of the beans, the roasting, and the brewing.
Well, Emma, you've given us food for thought, literally making us sort of remind ourselves that we are very privileged to be where we are, enjoying good coffee. But when those prices start creeping upwards, because obviously the raw materials are such, they're going to sort of dictate that we move it to that level, that we should just sort of take it for what it is, enjoy the cup of coffee, enjoy that third space atmosphere that you mentioned that comes along with that whole cafe culture, and just support our local cafe owners too.
Yes, I agree. So let's hope that happens.
Well, Emma, I appreciate you coming in to Drive. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure, Con. Thank you.
That's Emma Felton, Adjunct Senior Researcher at the University of South Australia.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.